Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. The Oscars are a little over a week away, and next week we're going to take a special look at one film that's been nominated in multiple categories. We'll talk to experts in sound design, adaptation, and visual effects to see how all those pieces fit together to create The Martian. But today, let's listen to our second annual run-through of the Oscar nominees for Best Original Score. Allison Plant is interim chair of the film scoring department at Berklee College of Music, and she walked us through the interesting transition we hear in this year's nominees, starting with the film Carol. The movie's about two women secretly in love in the 1950s. It's scored by Carter Burwell.
It's a very subtle theme, it's a very subtle score overall, and that's because it's a very subtle film. I mean, this love story is, they're not able to be out in the open at all in the film, and so the score has to be the same thing. It has to be the yearning, but really held back.
You know, from what we're hearing, it lacks a sort of typical Hollywood music cues that we're all used to hearing in soundtracks. It's more, as you said, it's subtle.
Yeah. This is really not what people think of if they think film scoring. They usually think, you know, big orchestra, broad gestures, and, you know, percussion. And we don't have any of that here.
Well, let's move on then to Bridge of Spies. This was the Steven Spielberg movie about an American lawyer played by Tom Hanks, who's recruited to defend a Soviet spy during the Cold War. Composed by Thomas Newman, the soundtrack here. So here's a little piece of West Berlin.
And this is what you think of when you think of film scoring,
yeah.
specifically Thomas Newman's score. So what he's really good at doing with that is striking this note of ambiguity. Thomas Newman doesn't usually work with Steven Spielberg, right? Usually that's John Williams.
Yeah, we'll hear from him later.
Yes. So John Williams was not available. This is the first time. Sorry, no, I think it's the second time that Spielberg's worked with a composer other than John Williams. But there are some cues that have more of that John Williams, Steven Spielberg feel that are more sort of emotionally straightforward, and
yeah.
We have more kind of the heroic trumpet fanfare.
By the way, what kind of role do you want a score to play in a film? I mean, because we were just talking about how the Newman score gives us that sense of ambiguity, and in the Carol film, it was subtlety. I mean, what do you think is the best role for a score to play? I've always considered it like yet another character in a movie.
Absolutely. That's actually exactly what I was going to say. Film music is part of a film, first and foremost. It's not music first, it's film first. So sometimes the music's role is to express something that the characters can't, but also just adding to tension or adding to drama and things like that. There's a lot of other roles it does.
Okay, so speaking of other roles, let's move on to The Hateful Eight, the Quentin Tarantino film set in Wyoming
speaking
in the winter.
Speaking of tension.
Yeah. Ennio Morricone wrote the score, and it really plays a very important role in the film. So important, if I understand this right, there's an actual overture, so let's listen
yes.
to that. Talk about setting the mood here.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten to the contrabassoon, because I think it'll come in a moment. Very unusual use of low woodwinds. So contrabassoon is, you know, a bassoon is already very low.
Yeah.
Contrabassoon is super low. It builds gradually the same way that the film does. And I think without the music, this would be a totally different film.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And interestingly, like, you know, so Tarantino is known not for working with composers at all. He's known for soundtrack scores.
Yeah.
You know, and also coaxing Morricone essentially out of retirement is a feat in itself.
Now, can we just talk for a second about the fact that there is this overture?
Yes.
Because I feel like that almost never happens in movies.
It does right? almost never happen. Yeah, in fact, so much. I was sitting in the theater. I was at the Somerville Theater to see it in 70 millimeter, and behind me there were some younger viewers, and the overture started, and after a while, one of them was whispering to the other, "I think they've forgotten to raise the, to open the curtain." So I turned around and said, "No, it's an overture." And they're like, "Oh."
Well, let's move on to actually for a second to talk about a movie that was disqualified when it came to the nominees for Best Score, and that's The Revenant. So let's listen to a little bit of that. Now, I understand it was disqualified because there's more than one composer.
Right. Ryuichi Sakamoto is the lead composer, but he collaborated with two other composers, Alva Noto and Bryce Dessner. The Academy rules for the score specifically say that scores assembled from the music of more than one composer are not eligible.
It seems a little antiquated to me because a lot of the other categories you can have like multiple producers.
It seems a little antiquated to me as well. Yeah, I think the idea is that there's this image of like the composer. My personal take on that is that comes out of Beethoven. Like that, Beethoven
so
sort of
really
started
antiquated.
Yeah, I think he, really deliberately started this vision of like, the composer is this artist and they work on their own and they create these magnum opuses. And I think that really has stuck in the popular imagination. But I think, realistically these days, it isn't one individual vision. It's the joining together of these multiple visions. And also like within film scoring, essentially you're always collaborating as a composer. You're collaborating at least with the director.
So let's get to the last two nominees for this year's Oscar for Best Score. Let's listen to a little bit from Sicario, and that's a movie about an FBI agent enlisted by the government to aid in the war against drugs on the border between the U.S. and Mexico. Very different sound.
Yes, yeah. So the same way that Carol is not typical of what people dream of film score, this is not typical in the other direction, although this is becoming more more accepted as a film scoring technique. It can be called like textural scoring. This actually isn't synthesized. It's actually orchestra that's been processed heavily.
And scored by Johan Johansson?
Yes.
Okay.
Who was also nominated last year for a completely different score for The Theory of Everything.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So he's got quite a range there.
Yes.
All right. Well, finally, let's listen to the last nominee. I don't even need to really introduce it. Let's just hear it.
It's a Star Wars score through and through.
Yeah.
It's beautifully composed. It's very mature. It's John Williams, at the height of his compositional powers. He's like Yoda now.
It's a Yoda film score.
Yeah. What he's done, which he started doing, or he really been doing all along, is transforming these themes and motifs to connect characters together. So Ray's theme, if you listen to it, like especially at the end of the phrases, there's hints of the Darth Vader theme. In a way, actually, the music gives you things you can, speculate about. Like, oh, wait, is that theme connected to this character?
Oh, interesting. From a musical standpoint, what is it about what he does that makes it so immediately catchy, memorable? You hear two bars and you know who it is, what movie it is, because there's so much they become a fabric of our culture. And what
right.
does John Williams do? How does he do that?
How does he do it specifically? I think if I knew that, then I would be very successful at teaching film students at Berkeley. I think we would have a whole lot more people. So I don't know. I'm sure that that's just that magic of John Williams. And I think being able to write a memorable theme, that's very hard to teach. The other thing you need is you need to have a filmmaker who wants themes.
Right.
And that has been less common these days. I think a lot of times people do want more textural scores. They want to create emotional feelings, but they don't necessarily want a thematic score.
Interesting. And we're hearing that sort of transition just amongst these nominees this year, even.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
My final question for you, Allison, then, is care to give us your pick
I would say The Hateful Eight, actually. Partly because Morricone, it's kind of unbelievable he's never gotten an Oscar, and this is just an amazing score.
Well, we'll go out with a little bit more of The Hateful Eight then. Allison Plant is interim chair of Berklee College of Music's film scoring department, walking us through this year's nominees for Best Film Score. Allison, thanks so much for speaking with us. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks. Great to talk to you.
We'll be back in just a minute. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.